Many of our listeners know about the Swain School in Allentown, an independent school. And my guest this evening to talk about the Swain School and the many activities that are going on there is Dr. Shannon Boyle Schuster, who became head of the school in July and was officially installed in a ceremony in September. Now, here's an interesting fact about Dr. Schuster. She grew up blocks from Swain. Actually, what street was it in Allentown?
I grew up on Walnut Street, about 24th and Walnut.
So, and Swain School is on 24th
Street. It is. It's literally blocks from the house I grew up in.
So you have now returned to your hometown to lead Swain, and it's a preschool through 8th grade. It's an independent school founded in 1929. That was before you were a twinkle in your parents' eyes.
Correct. Before my parents were even here.
Twinkles.
That's right.
Dr. Schuster is bringing a number of initiatives to Swain, including a parenting education series. And we want to talk about that today. It will premiere on Wednesday, October 26th, with the showing of the documentary Screenagers. I love that term. Growing Up in the Digital Age. I don't necessarily wrap my love around all the digital stuff that's going on nowadays, but I do like that term, screenagers. I think that tells it all. Along with two following presentations are free and open to the public. So the first one is October 26th, and we'll talk about the other two as we go along. Shannon, give us a little peek into your education, your own education, undergraduate.
Sure. So I grew up in Allentown and went to Allen High School and finished Allen and ended up at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee, which was a really different experience coming from Allentown, but was great. And I majored in math and planned on teaching in public school the rest of my life because that's really all that I knew.
You were a Lady Vol.
Well, that's Tennessee. That's really our – I'm a Commodore. But.
You're a Commodore. Oh, I'm sorry. I did. I messed up.
That's our rival. But I won't hold that against you.
Not to mention that.
So, I really thought I'd spend my life in public education and started teaching in public school and ended up moving back to the area a few years later, back to the Lehigh Valley, and was having trouble finding a job as a math teacher. So long story short, I ended up in a Catholic school in the diocese. And that was really my introduction into private school. And I really enjoyed it. So I started thinking maybe that would be a path, especially with administration. Maybe I would become a Catholic school principal. So a few years later, I took a year off from teaching and went to Columbia University to get my master's in administration. And they had a specialty program that was a one-year intense program for private school leadership. And I thought, well, that sounds perfect because I don't want to be a public school principal. And I got into the program the first day, and there were 25 of us, and 24 people came from independent schools, and I was sitting there coming from Catholic school. So I didn't really know much about independent school, but over the year I heard a lot of really interesting stories about independent schools and thought, well, maybe I'll try that next. So I took my next position just outside of Washington, D.C., in Virginia, and started working in an independent school there. And while I was there, got my doctorate at UVA. Also in administration. So kind of a long path, but an interesting one from public school to Catholic school and then finally to independent school and now back home in an independent school.
So that's a broad range of experience that you have.
It
is. In those three different areas. And it's all with elementary schools?
I've done all three. I've done elementary, middle, and high school. My specialty is really middle school, so I've probably done the most in middle school.
God bless you.
But that's what everyone says. But I have also taught high school. I taught at Bethlehem Catholic a few years ago. I taught in elementary schools. So I really feel like I've tried it all. I've also taught graduate school. I became an adjunct faculty member at UVA for a few years. So I've taught 3-year-olds to, 40-year-olds, basically. And there's more similar than different. All great.
What a range. Well, Swain School, for those who are not familiar with it, is located at 1100 South 24th Street in Allentown, has 310 students enrolled from 22 area school districts. And Swain offers a thorough program of arts, athletics, character education, and technology, including a new makerspace program launched in the fall of 2015. Shannon, what can you tell us about the makerspace program?
So makerspaces are really more of a philosophy. I mean, they do have a location at this point, but they're much more of a way of thinking. And that concept is really rooted in kids doing hands-on problem solving of real life situations. So the reason we have a space is because we can't afford to have a 3D printer in every classroom yet. So it's very similar to technology, where years ago you had a computer lab because you couldn't afford to have computers in all the rooms. The makerspace really provides a space where we can have tools that we just can't have in every classroom. So we have 3D printers and woodworking tools and soldering tools and technology tools. And it's a resource, not unlike a library. Actually, a lot of makerspaces are inside of libraries. So students come and sometimes have class in the makerspace. So we run an engineering and design class in our makerspace where middle schoolers come in and design things and prototype and really go through the design process. We also have teachers who can use the makerspace just for a classroom project. So if a middle school or an elementary school class is studying American history, they might come in and say, we want to replicate a monument, but you can use anything. You can use cardboard, you can use the 3D printer, you can use wood. And so it's this place where there's tons of different resources. And the idea is not everyone leaves with the same project, but everyone leaves with the same a solution to a problem. And so it's an opportunity to have students really experience how do you solve a problem. And the best examples are really when we solve a problem within the school community. So we might say something like, wow, we're really struggling with runoff water in this one section of the building, and it's affecting the athletic fields, and maybe they have to come up with building the solution to direct the water in another way. So
sounds very creative.
It is. It's kind of the combination of art and vo-tech and engineering and technology. So some kids are programming the solution, and some kids are building the solution, and it can tap any of the students' strengths.
Wow. How long has this term makerspace been around? Because that's new to me.
It is fairly new in education. I'd say the last 5 years, it's kind of picked up the momentum. But many would tell you, you know, if you go back to Dewey and constructivism in education, it's been a long time philosophy of teaching. And we moved away from it, really. So even when I was growing up, there was still woodshop class and electric class.
Exactly.
And so it's a little bit coming back to that, but with a 21st century bend in terms of combining all of it. So instead of having one shop for woodshop and one shop, it's a shop where you can do any of those things. Because again, not everyone leaves with the same lamp. The idea is, how do we all create light? And it could be one person makes it reflective and one person uses electricity. So it's a little bit of a new concept, and it's a little bit reviving a very old concept of education.
Can you tell us whether the younger children, which would be preschoolers at Swain, or the older children up to 7th and 8th grades tend to flock to the makerspace with great enthusiasm more than the others?
Absolutely. I would say next to PE, the makerspace is the favorite location on campus because I think it's filled with toys in a sense. I mean, not what you would call a toy, but for a child, the idea of using a soldering tool is pretty exciting, or using a certain drill saw. But there's also, like I said, a lot of technology. So I think they go there because it doesn't feel like school. And that's really the best type of education, right? When students are learning but don't feel like they're learning. And that's what happens in the makerspace.
When I took my children many years ago to kindergarten for the first time, the teacher, as we walked into the classroom, now this sounds like something that I can imagine happening at Swain School. This was a public school in Allentown. Went to her knees to get to the child's level and said, the very first thing she said, would you like to go and play with some of those toys over there? And I thought, what a great way to begin the child's experience with a school.
Sure.
To make the children, and both of them just went right over to the toys. So what you're talking about, toys, well, we even talk with adults now. Mm-hmm. We've got lots of video games and things that you would call toys also. Mm-hmm. So all ages fit into that. What I mentioned before was parenting education. And we want to talk a little bit about, what is this program about? Is this your initiative that you've brought to campus?
It is in part, but it's certainly part of the ethos and culture of Swain. And what we want to do is create a partnership with parents to help raise great kids. Because we, at school, certainly work with children all day, and then parents go home and try to navigate a lot of challenging issues raising kids, and instead of those being two separate worlds, we want to join those two things. So how can we help raise great kids together and talk about the challenges? So screenagers is a great example. I don't ever run into a parent that doesn't say they don't know what the right answer is in terms of screen time. So should I allow my three-year-old on a screen? I hear it might be bad, but what if they're playing an educational game on their iPad? Up to middle schoolers, and should I let my child have a phone? Can they text? What does that mean? And how do I monitor that? So it's such a relevant topic, and it does enter into the school day because we also use technology at school. So then you say, well, gosh, if they're using technology at school, you know, how do we control the kind of the cumulative effect of all that technology on children? So we wanted to bring this as an example of how we can partner together. How can we have great discussions about how to raise great kids? And we don't necessarily have all the answers, but we want to create a space to talk about what do you need as a parent? How can we help you? So Screenagers is the first event, and there are endless topics we could probably bring. We tried to highlight things that we think are really at the top of people's list. So Screenagers is the first one. The second one is about play. And I think that's something that is, again, kind of what you mentioned about your child going to kindergarten. There's a reason children play, and it's actually hugely important in brain development. So, for example, there's all this research that's been proven over and over again that homework is actually detrimental to children under 10. Because Ooh. When children are home from school, they've already spent 8 hours in school. Their brain will get far more out of playing than it will out of doing a worksheet. And so parents need to understand that, because a lot of parents think, well, the more is better. So they went to school, now they should come home, they should do more homework. But actually, play is more important for the brain at that age than homework is.
Up to the age of 10.
Up to the age of 10. It's actually detrimental to children. So
do you put that into practice at Swain School?
We try very hard. Again, some parents really want their child to do more work at home. So we try to present ways that you can do academic things but not make it feel like it. So in first grade, the homework assignment last week was a tic-tac-toe board with 9 activities, and one said, ride your bike for 10 minutes with a parent, go outside and find 5 different kinds of leaves. So it's things that could turn into something that might seem more academic but might feel more like play, because again, sitting and doing, you know, worksheets is not what's best for kids. So play is very important, and so that's our second speaker.
Not only that, but bonding with the parents.
Absolutely.
Doing these
family
activities.
Time. Yes.
Family time.
Yep.
That's terrific. My guest this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse is Dr. Shannon Boyle Schuster, who recently became the head of school at Swain, in fact, in July. So this is your very first school year at the helm.
This is.
And we're into, what, second
we're in,
month
we're
now?
In week five of school, so still at the beginning.
And we will continue talking about the activities going on at Swain School and independent schools in general after this break. I'm John Pierce, your host, and our engineer today, Neil Heaver, our operations director. We'll be back in just a moment.
For program support on WDIY, we thank ASAP Mailing of the Lehigh Valley, a locally owned and operated mailing and fulfillment company offering marketing and production solutions for your custom mail piece, taking your marketing project from idea to delivery, creating a program that meets your mailing, marketing, and fulfillment requirements. For more information, 484-285-0204 or asapmailing.com.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
And we're back on Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm chatting this evening with Dr. Shannon Boyle Schuster, the brand new head of school at the Swain School this year. They have a series coming up, and I think, Shannon, everyone's invited to this series.
Absolutely. Free and open to the public, so bring your friends.
And it's a community parenting education program, and you do not have to, your children do not have to be students at Swain.
No.
Anyone in the public who's interested. And the first one is called Screenagers, Growing Up in the Digital Age, a documentary by Delaney Rustin. And that's going to be this Wednesday, October 26th at 7 p.m., Wednesday, October 26th. If you are interested in registering for this,
go to our website, which is swain.org, S-W-A-I-N, just swain.org. And on the homepage, there'll be an RSVP button. And it's totally free. We just would love to know you're coming so that we can plan appropriately. And there'll be a short kind of conversation or discussion afterwards. We don't want to keep people too late. But it'll be the beginning of what we hope is a long-term conversation that will probably move to an online format. So the day after the movie, we'll send an email to everyone and say, if you'd like to continue the discussion, feel free to, you know, put comments on this blog. And if people are interested, we'll actually host more discussion events around screen time.
And that's for October 26th at 7 p.m. Then the second in this series is called The Role of Play in a Quality Education. You've already alluded to that before we went to break. And this is a presentation by Kathy Hirsch-Pasek, and that's on Wednesday, February 1st at 7 p.m. So Wednesday is the magic day for these.
It is. That's easy to remember.
Okay. And again, you can register for this one. Now, that's February 1st, so that's a little bit of time from now. And then the third is called Peer Relationships in the Age of Social Media, a presentation by author Rachel Simmons. And that, again, is on a Wednesday. It's April 19th at 7 p.m. So it's all Wednesdays, and it's all 7 p.m.,
correct,
easy to remember, at Swain School. And people would simply go to Swain School, 1100 South 24th Street.
Right,
pretty
in.
Campus.
Yeah,
yes.
We have about 20 acres.
Yes.
That most people don't realize, because when you drive by, you kind of only see the very front side of campus. But we have the luxury of a lot of great land and fields and buildings. And so it's a great chance for people to see a little bit about our facility.
And a beautiful fence right out there by the road.
Right.
That's what I like when I drive by.
Yes.
And trees. Yes. Is there a religious group that's still using the Swain
building?
There is.
There's a, we do rent our facilities, and there's a group that rents on Sundays
on Sunday mornings.
Religious.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what can you tell us about the second in this series, The Role of Play in a Quality Education?
Right. So as I was saying earlier, I think people struggle with more is better. And in education, play is a really key component in a child's brain development and navigating how to learn. So Kathy's coming to talk about how important that is to help parents stop worrying. I think there's a lot of anxiety with parenting today, and college is so hard to get into, and we see it in our preschool parents. They come in and say, I'm worried. I want my college, you know, child to get into college, and how do I put them on the right path? And one of the best things you can do is have your child do a lot of playing and work on that side of their brain development. So Kathy's written 9 or 10 books on play. My favorite one is called Einstein Didn't Use Flashcards. And she's a sitting chair in psychology at Temple, and she's a phenomenal resource in terms of what the research says over and over again about the importance of play.
And my guess is that the parents who are worried about their children doing enough work at early ages so that they'll be well prepared for college, and so they're following what was happening to them when they were children.
Sure, or they're doing the reverse. You know, they're saying, I should have studied harder, so I'm going to make sure my child, you know, memorizes things early. And I think there's a real push to do things earlier, and that's not what brain research is saying is actually best. So again, playing can do much more for your brain than memorizing multiplication or memorizing facts.
I would love to know the children's attitude about that, because if I'm a child and my role models, the principal, the teachers, are telling me, go out and play, I'm going to love that.
Yeah. Very few children argue. They love recess. They love, again, going to the makerspace. They love doing learning that doesn't feel like rote learning. And I think the other thing that's really different about where, you know, the space we live in today's world is that information is no longer hard to get. And so, you know, when you look at the evolution of schools, the reason that you went to a school is there was one person in town who had information, and the only way you could get the information was by going to see that person, and they would tell you what they knew, and you would try to memorize it so that you had information. But we now have information on our phones and in our pockets, and so children don't have to memorize facts to have information. So the skill now is, how do you use information? And again, that's why we can focus more on play and how to use information or what might feel like play. So again, if you look at, let's say, the makerspace or doing project-based learning, it's not about memorizing the names of the states. It might be more, how did they get that name? Why does that matter? How does that impact their, you know, the life of it now? And especially, you know, just take all the controversy over Native American mascots. And, you know, historically, that's something that years ago we didn't have time to learn because we were busy memorizing things. But now we can really delve deeply into information because information's at our hand. So it's really changing what school's purpose is. And it's about processing information and analyzing and critical thinking and less about memorizing. So play kind of naturally falls into that because things might feel like play instead of feeling like worksheets and again, rote memorization.
Yes, right. And the third in the series is called Peer Relationships in the Age of Social Media. And that's a presentation by author Rachel Simmons. What do you know about Rachel Simmons?
She's great. I've worked with Rachel for many years. She's, you know, very popular in terms of a resource for kind of teenagers and preteens in terms of their relationships. Her initial research was all based on girls. She's now expanded to boys as well. But she's very knowledgeable about today's world and what it's like for kids to navigate it. And what we're finding is children are entering the relational situations earlier and earlier. And so, you know, we're finding fourth and fifth graders that maybe don't get along or, you know, feel like there's relational aggression where before that used to happen a little bit later, which is why so many people sigh when you say that you work in middle school. Yes. Some of those challenges in middle school we see starting earlier. And so to equip parents with, what do you do when your child comes home and says, my best friend is mad at me, or, you know, three girls at lunch wouldn't sit with me, or these boys made fun of me. And not everything is bullying. I think that's another reaction that we have to work on in today's culture. There is bullying, and it's very serious, but not everything is bullying. And so helping parents navigate, at what point do I call the school? At what point is it serious? What do I say to my child when they're crying because their best friend is mad at them? And so helping parents, again, really tough topics, but helping them navigate that, especially when you enter social media into it. So now they're arguing over text and saying things they would never say in person. So we want to equip parents with just, how do you do that? And again, it takes all of us working together.
That's really interesting, using texting as a way of either bullying or teasing or whatever it might be. It's much easier.
Absolutely.
Than to be talking to the person, and particularly talking to the person as we are now sitting face to face and shouting insults.
Sure.
So the issue of children having cell phones, what's your policy at Swain about that? Are children allowed to take phones to school? Do most of them or most of them not?
So it certainly varies. Our three-year-olds typically don't have cell phones, but most of our middle schoolers do. They're allowed to bring them, but they have to keep them in their locker during the school day. And most children at this age have a cell phone because it is great communication with parents. The game's running late. Can you pick me up? And so parents want their children to have cell phones for that reason or for safety reasons. And we acknowledge that, but we don't want it out during the school day because it is a distraction. And we're also trying to teach children, how do you navigate and use technology appropriately? So we're actually a one-to-one iPad school, grades 5 through 8. So all of our 5th through 8th graders have iPads that they use during the day, but they're only to be used for educational purposes. We do monitor.
You supply the iPads to the students?
They bring their own. So it's a bring your own iPad environment, but it's really important to teach children how to navigate it. I think part of the challenges with technology are that the technology world exploded and none of us were taught how to do any of this. So as a parent, I'm pretty tech savvy, but no one taught me what's good manners, you know, using technology. When is it appropriate? So if I'm in a meeting, can I pull out my phone and start texting my husband? I can, but it's not really good manners. But if no one teaches you that, we expect kids to somehow navigate what's appropriate. And so I think I'm passionate about having technology in school so we can teach how to use it appropriately. So with the cell phone, you can bring your cell phone, but keep it in your locker. And if at recess, you know, or at break, you want to go text your parent about pickup, that's fine, but it needs to stay in your locker because it's not appropriate to pull it out during class. Mm. We don't allow technology out during lunch or during recess because we really believe that kids should be socializing then and playing. And we don't want them sitting on their iPad. We want them running around and getting exercise. And so, again, teaching them balance, right? How do you navigate living in a world where you could sit all day on technology?
So. That will resonate with many, many people out there, and I've heard time and time again, how do we get them? The other day I read that children basically spend on an average 6.5 hours a day looking at screens. So looking at screens is not all bad. We
know
that.
Correct.
And you're trying to teach them positive ways and not just wasting time, but going after information. I would imagine.
Yeah, or just using it well. I think the other thing that we forget is a TV counts as a screen. So we've been fighting screens for a lot longer than people realize, right? People have been complaining since cable TV came out that my kid wants to watch TV all day. So again, there's passive technology and there's active technology. So actually sitting TV is passive. You're just sitting there and kind of being entertained. But there's active use of technology where you're playing an educational game or even having an online discussion about something in school, that's active technology use. So again, making sure that we don't just lump all of it into the same. So being on a screen isn't all the same. It depends on how you're using it, what its purpose, is it being monitored, and all those pieces.
Right. I asked a high school student several years ago, if you were to give me the percentage of, now this was obviously someone not at Swain School, give me the percentage of students in your class who at some time during the class period are consulting the handheld gizmo, as I call it. And the student said without hesitation, 100%. So it's so easy if there are basically no rules about it. You just, it's there for everyone all time. Well, believe it or not, Shannon, and my guest this evening, Dr. Shannon Boyle-Schuster, head of school at the Swain School in Allentown. Our time is up on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Well, thank you for having me.
Wasn't that fun?
It was great.
For the listeners who would like to get in touch with Swain School, go online to swain, swain.org. And you can get all the information that you want about the school and particularly about the series of parenting education. It's 3 sessions. The first one is October 26th, the second one February 1st, and the third one April 19th. They're all Wednesdays and they're all at 7 p.m. Well, here at WDIY, Dr. Schuster, we wish you the best and hope that you have a long and very happy tenure at Swain School.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back home.
Thank you. It's great to be back.